Good evening, everybody. We welcome you to our meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority on Wednesday, October 17th at 6 p.m. We are meeting in the Sierra Room at the Carson City Community Center. May we have the roll call, please?
Chairperson Norville.
Present.
Vice Chairperson Williams.
Here.
Member Hutter.
Here.
Member De Loretta Long.
Here.
Member Posick.
Here.
Member Sala.
Present.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. Item number C, approval of the minutes of past meetings of the Airport Authority. I believe that we have the August minutes that are available for review and approval. Members of the board have any comments on items in the minutes for August 2012? Seeing none, we would stand in need of a motion to approve.
I move that we approve the minutes for August 12th.
Motion is made and is on the table. Do we have a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the minutes are accepted unanimously. That's the minutes of August 2012. Item number D, modification of the agenda. The chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process agenda items. And let me just look here very quickly. There'll be no modification of the agenda tonight. Public comment, members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized items related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extensive discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Airport Authority meeting. Bill,
thank you.
Welcome. Please print your name, would you?
My name is Bill Hartman. Sunday evening, I returned on a flight from Henderson, arrived over the airport about 9 o'clock. About 8 o'clock at night, and was unsuccessful at turning on the runway lights after multiple attempts. And so my wife pulled out her cell phone and made a first call to member Posick, and who was. Left a message there. Then she called Ray Pash, who I guess then called Steve, to get the phone number for the airport manager, Tim Rowe, and requested that he come out and turn on the lights at the airport. Meanwhile, I was orbiting around. I turned on the lights at Minden just for practice, and they worked. So Tim came out and discovered that the circuit breaker had popped in the electrical vault. He turned them on for me, and I was able to come in and land. And so I didn't have to go down to land at Minden and get a car up here and all the hassle that wouldn't have been involved with that. I've already thanked Tim. I want to express my appreciation to the authority that Tim came out and got the lights on for me, that I could come in and land, and I'm quite grateful for that. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Bill. You're very gracious, but I feel that we should extend an apology to you. You know that you were not able to turn the lights on, and we're glad that you were not in a minimum fuel state, you know, or something.
That's one of the questions Ray asked me. Hey, Bill, how much gas you got? I had a little over 3 hours of fuel on board, so that wasn't an issue at all.
Well, we have had some, you know, inquiries in the past, you know, about the lights. Any identifiable reason why the breaker was popped?
No, we don't know why it popped. We're just looking at it. The security people three times a week, we'll test the lights to make sure that they come on. And they checked them a couple nights before this incident, and they worked. We suspect that possibly it could have had something to do with the rain, but we don't know. All the lights, when we've looked at them, done the and completed the runway inspections, everything worked fine. So we just don't know why.
So this is a good time to reiterate, however, that did you use three clicks or five?
I used five.
Five. And we have found out that there is a sequencing issue if you click too rapidly, Tim?
Yes, you have to click five times within 5 seconds, but you can't click too fast, or the way the electronics are set up, as soon as you click, it spikes and then drops back down. It's waiting for a radio transmission. If it doesn't and you click it again, it knows, now it knows it's in the sequence. And if you click, 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 click five times like that, they'll come on. If you go any faster than that, it will not reset in its surge or its sequence, and they won't come on.
So the magic black box thinks it's a radio transmission on 1230 rather than somebody trying to turn on the pilot-controlled lighting. So that's, we've been trying to get that word out, too, because we've had a little issue with that. But anyway, thanks, Bill.
I've come in here at night before and not had any trouble turning them on. And I also heard Tim clicking his radio, trying to get them to turn on also. And, of course, they wouldn't, because the problem, of course, turned out to be the circuit breaker for whatever reason, we don't know. But anyway, I appreciate you came out. And now I have your cell number programmed in my cell phone, so I can call you directly next time.
You and everybody else.
You know, anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. Any other members of the public? No? Or one other member of the public? Consent agenda, we have no items on consent tonight. Moving on to item number G, public hearings. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of the Carson City Airport Authority audit for fiscal year 2011-2012. Beth.
Hi. For the record, Beth Cohn Cole, partner at Cohn Coladney CPAs. We handed out this evening a copy of your audit. One is a bound copy of the audit, and then a letter, a required board communication letter. First, on the communication letter, it's pretty standard language, although we do summarize the adjustments that we record, and they're mostly expected adjustments. We're usually waiting for the property tax receivable balance, which is a large number, to get that number from Carson City, and that has to get booked. But not everything else is standard in that three-page letter. In your bound financial statements, your audit opinion was an unqualified or what we call sometimes a clean audit, which is what you want as board members. That's good. But there are a few things I would like to point out. On page 7, your statement of net assets, the first column is your basic general fund. And because you have received some prepaid leases over the years, your fund balance or your excess of cash minus deferred revenue, mostly from prepaid leases, is really getting low. So if you look in the middle or toward the bottom of the page, you have $40,488 of fund balance. And a few years back, we went to taxation and talked to them because we actually expected that to go into the negative, because you basically are matching your FAA grants, but the prepaid leases are being recognized over a long period of time, that revenue. So that's just something we need to watch, because that's a concern of taxation of the state, although we talked to them and told them that that was expected. But you can see up above, you have long-term leases of $403,000 that you've collected on so that you can use that money to match your FAA grants. But it's not revenue yet, so it's a timing difference. So I think that's an important point. It's an accrual item. So you get the cash in, but you don't recognize the revenue except over the entire lease period, which is a very long period of time. But then you're turning around spending the money, and under governmental accounting principles, that's not an asset to you. If you do some runway work, that's an asset to Carson City. It's an expense of yours. So it makes it look like you're upside down. So it's something to watch. and taxation is aware of it. We've talked to them.
I do remember us discussing this. This has come up before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just think it's pretty critical to point out. In case at some point that goes negative, I think it's for complete transparency, I think it's worth discussing.
Okay, thank you.
Then on bottom of page 15, we did have one compliance issue with the Nevada Administrative Code and the Nevada Revised Statutes. And when you do a budget, you can't exceed your budget for expenditures unless it's because your grant money, your grant revenue exceeded your budget. And in this case, this year, your expenditures exceeded your budget by $15,238. So I thought we'd look at that. That's on page 19 and 20. So the first two columns on page 19 represent your budget. The next column is your actual results. So your total revenue was budgeted at $2 million, almost $2 million. You spent $1.6 million. So you received $1.6 million. So you're under budget by $444,000. But if you look up above, $500,000 was grant related. So that's not a problem. Your actual revenue exceeded budget. But when you go down to airport service and supplies, you budgeted $178,000 and you spent $194,000. And mostly that's in advertising. It's in miscellaneous because you really didn't have an advertising line item. But you spent quite a bit in advertising this year that wasn't budgeted. And so that that's the miscellaneous line. And then legal and professional fees exceeded budget. And that's really just a basis of what's going on with your grants and how much time the audit might take and how much time Steve might take. So you exceeded budget there, $16,000. Salaries and administration, you were under budget on the next page slightly, so $15,238. So that's a compliance issue that we have to point out.
Was, Tim, was that at the advertising, was that associated with the open house or with?
Yes, it was nearly all for the open house.
Okay.
And because of the expense going into the open house, even though it was very successful, I've decided to kind of curtail some of that, those expenses, because I thought it was pretty high.
Okay, let me just look here. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we worked Steve pretty hard in that period, I guess.
One other thing to notice is we reduced this budget amount to $60,000 last year, and I think it was around 85 or 90 the years prior. So I think in part that was kind of hopeful thinking.
Plus, we had an awful lot happening, you know, during the fiscal period, but.
And you can see the prior year was actually higher at 86,000, so you spent less this year.
Yes, right.
You just spent more than budget. Yeah. And then because your federal grants exceeded 500,000, you had a special audit, a single audit. We had no audit findings in connection with that single audit, and that on page 21 shows the total expenses for the federal grant. So this doesn't include your match. This is what the FAA actually reimbursed you, almost $1.3 million. And the rest are just compliance reports that are required. And, again, no audit findings. And that's all I have.
Good. Thank you. Board members, any questions for Beth before we excuse her? Okay. Thank you very much, Beth. We really appreciate that. Great work, as always.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's see.
I think you have to take action on the audit.
Thank you. I guess everybody has legal counsel's comments on the agenda items. So, board members, any comments between us regarding the budget? Any comments that members of the public might have for us with respect to the budget? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board, and we would stand in need of a.
So it makes it look like you're upside down. So it's something to watch. And taxation is aware of it. We've talked to them.
I do remember us discussing this. This has come up before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just think it's pretty critical to point out. In case at some point that goes negative, I think it's for complete transparency, I think it's worth discussing.
Okay. Thank you.
Then on bottom of page 15, we did have one compliance issue with the Nevada Administrative Code and the Nevada Revised Statutes. And when you do a budget, you can't exceed your budget for expenditures unless it's because your grant money, your grant revenue exceeded your budget. And in this case, this year, your expenditures exceeded your budget by $15,238. So I thought we'd look at that. That's on page 19 and 20. So the first two columns on page 19 represent your budget. The next column is your actual results. So your total revenue was budgeted at $2 million, almost $2 million. You spent $1.6 million. So you received $1.6 million. So you're under budget by $444,000. But if you look up above, $500,000 was grant related. So that's not a problem. Your actual revenue exceeded budget. But when you go down to airport service and supplies, you budgeted $178,000 and you spent $194,000. And mostly that's in advertising. It's in miscellaneous because you really didn't have an advertising line item. But you spent quite a bit in advertising this year that wasn't budgeted. And so that that's the miscellaneous line. And then legal and professional fees exceeded budget, and that's really just a basis of what's going on with your grants and how much time the audit might take and how much time Steve might take. So you exceeded budget there, $16,000. Salaries and administration, you were under budget on the next page slightly, so $15,238. So that's a compliance issue that we have to point out.
Was the advertising, was that associated with the open house or with?
Yeah. Yes, it was nearly all for the open house.
Okay.
And because of the expense going into the open house, even though it was very successful, I've decided to kind of curtail some of that, those expenses, because I thought it was pretty high.
Okay, let me just look here. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we worked Steve pretty hard. Period, I guess.
One other thing to notice is we reduced this budget amount to $60,000 last year, and I think it was around 85 or 90 the years prior. So I think in part that was kind of hopeful thinking.
Plus we had an awful lot happening, you know, during the fiscal period. But
and you can see the prior year was actually higher at 86,000, so you spent less this
yes.
year.
Right.
You just
right.
Spent more than budget. Yeah. And then because your federal grants exceeded $500,000, you had a special audit, a single audit. We had no audit findings in connection with that single audit. And that page 21 shows the total expenses for the federal grant. So this doesn't include your match. This is what the FAA actually reimbursed you, almost $1.3 million. And the rest are just compliance reports that are required. And, again, no audit findings. And that's all I have.
Good. Thank you. Board members, any questions for Beth before we excuse her? Okay. Thank you very much, Beth. We really appreciate that. Great work, as always.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's see.
I think you have to take action on the audit.
I guess everybody has legal counsel's comments on the agenda items. So, board members, any comments between us regarding the budget?
No.
Any comments that members of the public might have for us with respect to the budget? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board, and we would stand in need of a Motion to approve the audit for fiscal year 2011-2012.
I move that we approve the audit for the fiscal year 2011-2012.
Motion has been made and is on the table. Do we have a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion to approve is unanimous. Thank you, Beth. Item number two, reassignment of the committee to develop criteria and methodology for the performance evaluation of the airport manager. We've been, it seems like, working on this for a protracted period of time, but what I would like to do is wait until our new member is seated, and then we'll attempt to empanel a committee. I might also note that the committee, regardless of size, whether it's two members or more, would still be noticed as an open public meeting to ensure that we are completely transparent under Nevada's open meeting law. So, in my view, we would not be restricted to two or three or something less than four members. I myself will not be a part of that committee because I know Mr. Rowe personally, and I think that would be good for me to recuse myself from participation on that committee. So, as soon as we get our new member seated, and I believe that he is on the agenda for tomorrow, Steve, is that correct?
He's on the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors have an item on their agenda tomorrow to appoint a...
Is it on consent, do you know?
It is not on consent.
It is not, okay. No. All right. So we'll just let them do their job, and once we get the results of that and get him seated, then I do have some sample forms that I will hand out to the committee. You can do with them as you like. They are all blank. There is nothing on them. So let the creative juices flow. So we will push that forward to our next meeting. Item number three, discussion
Mr. Chairman.
On possible action.
Harlow?
Yes, sir.
On the item, I had a question for Steve. When we tried to do this in the past because of the open meeting thing, it became difficult to even break down the work assignments so that, you know, because to get together and try to go through a bunch of pages, we were looking for a vehicle, and I wanted to ask counsel, is it possible that the committee can divide up some of the paperwork so that we're not sitting there trying to write documents during a meeting where, you know, we could prep them outside the meeting and then bring them to a group?
You know, what the committee, the subcommittee can do is collect information and report back to the authority. And to the extent it's just a collection of information, I don't think the open meeting law requires you to notice and hold those meetings.
The last time we discussed this, I thought you had checked with the district attorney's office and they had advised us to notice the meeting.
Well, if you go back to the action that you took when you created the subcommittee, you actually delegated to them the task of developing the criteria and doing the evaluation. If you delegate duties, then it doesn't matter how small the subcommittee is, the subcommittee is subject to the open meeting law. If you were to reformulate that when you're ready to do it into simply collecting information to bring back to the authority for action, you know, without recommendations, you know, that kind of thing, then I don't think it triggers the open meeting law. So I think that's the distinction.
All right. We will entertain that in due course then. And I just realized that I have been remiss in something, and I would like to ask for the forgiveness of the board and the general public. I wanted to do this, and I just simply neglected to do so, but I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome Mr. Carl Hutter from ClickBond and Mr. Steve Posick from Carson Aviation Services as new members of our board. We are grateful to you. Motion to approve the audit for fiscal year 2011-2012.
I move that we approve the audit for the fiscal year 2011-2012.
Motion has been made and is on the table. Do we have a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion to approve is unanimous. Thank you, Beth. Item number two, reassignment of the committee to develop criteria and methodology for the performance evaluation of the airport manager. We've been, it seems like, working on this for a protracted period of time, but what I would like to do is wait until our new member is seated, and then we'll attempt to impanel a committee. I might also note that the committee, regardless of size, whether it's two members or more, would still be noticed as an open public meeting to ensure that we are completely transparent under Nevada's open meeting law. So in my view, we would not be restricted to two or three or something less than four members. I myself will not be a part of that committee because I know Mr. Rowe personally, and I think that we would be good for me to recuse myself from participation on that committee. So as soon as we get our new member seated, and I believe that he is on the agenda for tomorrow, Steve, is that correct?
He's on the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors have an item on their agenda tomorrow to appoint.
Is it on consent, do you know?
It is not on consent.
It is not. Okay. No. All right. So we'll just let them do their job, and once we get the results of that and get him seated, then I do have some sample forms that I will hand out to the committee. You can do with them as you like. They are all blank. There is nothing on them. So let the creative juices flow. So we will push that forward to our next meeting. Item number three, discussion
Mr. Chairman.
On possible action.
Harlow?
Yes, sir.
On the item, I had a question for Steve. When we tried to do this in the past because of the open meeting thing, it became difficult to even break down the work assignments so that, you know, because to get together and try to go through a bunch of pages, we were looking for a vehicle, and I wanted to ask counsel, is it possible that the committee can divide up some of the paperwork so that we're not sitting there trying to write documents during a meeting where, you know, we could prep them outside the meeting and then bring them to a group?
Yeah, you know, what the committee, the subcommittee can do is collect information and report back to the authority. And to the extent it's just a collection of information, I don't think the open meeting law requires you to notice and hold those meetings.
The last time we discussed this, I thought you had checked with the district attorney's office and they had advised us to notice the meeting.
Well, if you go back to the action that you took when you created the subcommittee, you actually delegated to them the task of developing the criteria and doing the evaluation. If you delegate duties, then it doesn't matter how small the subcommittee is. The subcommittee is subject to the open meeting law. If you were to reformulate that when you're ready to do it into simply collecting information to bring back to the authority for action, you know, without recommendations, you know, that kind of thing, then I don't think it triggers the open meeting law. So I think that's the distinction.
All right. We will entertain that in due course then. And I just realized that I have been remiss in something, and I would like to ask for the forgiveness of the board and the general public. I wanted to do this, and I just simply neglected to do so, but I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome Mr. Carl Hutter from ClickBond and Mr. Steve Posick from Carson Aviation Services as new members of our board. We are grateful to you, gentlemen, for your willingness to step up and serve our airport and our community. I'm well aware that there is some time involved, and sometimes the issues that we deal with can be trying. But we're grateful for your presence here. We're grateful for your desire to participate, and we look forward to your counsel. So thank you very much. Okay, item number three, under public hearings, discussion and possible action regarding the Airport Authority meeting schedule for November 2012 and the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, November 22nd. Been brought to my attention by our airport manager that our next scheduled meeting is one day prior to Thanksgiving, and people are likely to be traveling and making plans with family and so on and so forth, and it will probably be not a good time to meet, and I agree with that. So I think we have a couple of options. We could cancel our meeting and just roll that over to December, or we could select another day in which to meet. I don't think we have anything that is overly pressing that would require us to meet at a different time, but would be interested in the comments of board members. Teresa.
I think if there's something pressing, then you can just call a special meeting. Is that correct? Otherwise, I mean, this is a pretty light agenda today, and I would expect it to be the same for next month, so maybe deferring it to December would be okay.
Guy.
One other thought, as you go into December, I was just trying to get my calendar up, but it's not cooperating.
It's like December's okay, doesn't it?
Well, December is, except we get real close to Christmas again with the way it falls. I was wondering if we might want to schedule a December meeting maybe a week earlier, and that way we kind of make one out of two. So as I said, I can't get my calendar to come up, but I know we're okay, but we do the same thing. We bump
earlier
right
in the month is.
It'd be the 20th.
It'd be the
21st.
Yeah.
No, for December's would be the 19th, but you could move it up. We don't have this room available to us other than the third Wednesday of the
month.
Just meet at the terminal building.
Yeah, so if you moved it to the week earlier.
You could move it to the 5th or the 12th if you wanted to keep it on a Wednesday.
Okay, the 5th or the 12th. Well, Chief Salo, your thoughts?
That would be fine with me. I'm going to be out of town from the 21st on, so yeah, the 5th or the 12th, either one's fine.
Mr. Hunter.
Speaking just personally, I will be out of town starting on the 12th, so the 5th would be better.
Are you okay with the 5th, Mr. Posser?
I'm okay with either date.
I'd like to then reschedule a meeting for December 5th at the terminal, and I guess it will be 6 p.m. At the terminal building on December 5th.
I won't be there. Sorry.
Okay. How did you get so lucky? No. Okay. Well, sounds like a good place to be. All right, December 5th. Got that, Tim? That work okay?
That would be fine. December 5th, 6 p.m.
Okay, good. Airport engineers report.
To move the date.
Oh, and as Jim gets ready, you'll notice that you all have brand spanking new ALPs and lease parcel maps. So. The latest and the greatest.
Just to clarify briefly, will the December 5th meeting then be in place of both the regularly scheduled November and regularly scheduled December meetings?
That's correct. Yeah. Well, there will not be a meeting between now and December 5th, and the next meeting after December 5th will be the third weekend in January. Third Wednesday.
Okay, well, I emailed this report out to everybody, but for your benefit, the new members, I'll just let you know that.
Gentlemen, for your willingness to step up and serve our airport and our community. I'm well aware that it takes, there is some time involved, and sometimes the issues that we deal with can be trying. But we're grateful for your presence here. We're grateful for your desire to participate, and we look forward to your counsel. So, thank you very much. Okay, number three, item number three, under public hearings, discussion and possible action regarding the Airport Authority meeting schedule for November 2012 and the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, November 22nd. Been brought to my attention by our airport manager that our next scheduled meeting is one day prior to Thanksgiving, and people are likely to be traveling and making plans with family and so on and so forth, and it will probably be not a good time to meet, and I agree with that. So I think we have a couple of options. We could cancel our meeting and just roll that over to December, or we could select another day in which to meet. I don't think we have anything that is overly pressing that would require us to meet at a different time, but would be interested in the comments of board members. Teresa.
I think if there's something pressing, then you can just call a special meeting. Is that correct? Otherwise, I mean, this is a pretty light agenda today, and I would expect it to be the same for next month, so maybe deferring it to December would be okay.
Guy.
One other thought, as you go into December, I was just trying to get my calendar up, but it's not cooperating.
It's like December's okay, doesn't it?
Well, December is, except we get real close to Christmas again with the way it falls. I was wondering if we might want to schedule a December meeting maybe a week earlier, and that way we kind of make one out of two. So as I said, I can't get my calendar to come up, but I know we're okay, but we do the same thing. We bump
earlier
right
in the month is.
It'd be the 20th.
It'd be the
21st.
Yeah.
No, for December's would be the 19th, but you could move it up. We don't have this room available to us other than the third Wednesday of the
month.
Just meet at the terminal building.
Yeah, so if you moved it to the week earlier.
You could move it to the 5th or the 12th if you wanted to keep it on a Wednesday.
Okay, the 5th or the 12th. Well, Chief Salo, your thoughts?
That would be fine with me. I'm going to be out of town from the 21st on, so yeah, the 5th or the 12th, either one's fine.
Mr. Hunter.
Speaking just personally, I will be out of town starting on the 12th, so the 5th would be better.
Are you okay with the 5th, Mr. Posser?
I'm okay with either date.
I'd like to then reschedule a meeting for December 5th at the terminal, and I guess it will be 6 p.m. At the terminal building on December 5th.
I won't be there. Sorry.
Okay. How did you get so lucky? No. Okay. Well, sounds like a good place to be. All right, December 5th. Got that, Tim? That work okay?
That would be fine. December 5th, 6 p.m.
Okay, good. Airport engineers report.
To move the date.
Oh, and as Jim gets ready, you'll notice that you all have brand spanking new ALPs and lease parcel maps. So. The latest and the greatest.
Just to clarify briefly, will the December 5th meeting then be in place of both the regularly scheduled November and regularly scheduled December meetings?
That's correct. Yeah. Well, there will not be a meeting between now and December 5th, and the next meeting after December 5th will be the third weekend in January. Third Wednesday.
Okay, well, I emailed this report out to everybody, but f- for your benefit, the new members, I'll just let you know that I will briefly go over these at these meetings. So that's what I plan to do right now.
Briefly is fine.
The environmental assessment phase two at the North Apron, we have started that. We did the field work on October 8th, and our environmental group is moving forward with that. The main apron reconstruction, we are still working with some tenants on the airport to determine our limits of the reconstruction, but in the meantime, we have gotten some new aerial mapping on the airport for any areas that changed prior to the runway reconstruction. So the photographs will look realistic versus pasted together as they were. The taxiway Bravo and Charlie slurry seal and striping project is underway. They sprayed the weeds last Thursday, and tomorrow they're going to start cleaning out those cracks on Bravo and Charlie and start crack sealing and then doing pavement patching later on. The slurry seal itself is scheduled for about a week and a half from now. So that's underway. It should be done pretty quickly once it gets underway. At the AGIS survey, the FAA approved the survey control that we submitted, as well as their planned approach for the aerial photography that they needed to do. And so Foth, who's our sub-consultant and the real experts on this type of surveying, is underway, and they anticipate that they'd be able to submit sometime in November to the FAA for their review and approval. If the FAA has no issues with what was submitted, we could conceivably get approval of the AGIS survey in November.
Nothing penetrates that 20-to-1 slope, and we might get our night restriction lifted from our new approach.
Right.
Yeah. And our existing approach.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that, but you never know. Anyway, the only other thing that's come up is that we have a new program manager with the FAA. For years, we've worked with Abel Tapia. And he's turned over the reins of the Carson City Airport to Phil Logan. And Phil, I don't know him really well, but he used to work at the Reno Tahoe Airport, so I'm somewhat familiar with him. Plus, he sits next to Abel, so if I ever need any help, I can have him just lean over and ask Abel to get on the phone. So, any questions?
Well, I made one mistake already, and it has to do with the engineering item. I'm sorry, Carl. We do have a special meeting scheduled for Monday, October 22nd, 12 noon at the terminal. So, just make sure everybody knows that. So, that meeting is still on, and I think your handout, Jim, where is it? Yeah. On the slurry seal and strapping parking lot, we'll be discussing that on Monday.
That's correct, okay. Yeah. There's nothing to all talk right about tonight.
Okay, thank you. Airport manager's report.
As we talked about before, tomorrow's special meeting is postponed until Monday because you didn't get the word. And the paperwork you have is for your review for the cost of striping and crack sealing the pavement, the parking lot. Okay, good news about the terminal area forecast. It should be in place and being broadcast on January 3rd. And if you're wondering the significance of that date, that's also my birthday. So let's hope for a really happy birthday on that.
We'll get you a cake.
Everything's gone through all the...
I will briefly go over these at these meetings, so that's what I plan to do right now.
Briefly is fine.
The environmental assessment phase two at the North Apron, we have started that. We did the field work on October 8th, and our environmental group is moving forward with that. The main apron reconstruction, we are still working with some tenants on the airport to determine our limits of the reconstruction, but in the meantime, we have gotten some new aerial mapping on the airport for any areas that changed prior to the runway reconstruction. So the photographs will look realistic versus pasted together as they were. The taxiway Bravo and Charlie slurry seal and striping project is underway. They sprayed the weeds last Thursday, and tomorrow they're going to start cleaning out those cracks on Bravo and Charlie and start crack sealing and then doing pavement patching later on. The slurry seal itself is scheduled for about a week and a half from now. So that's underway. It should be done pretty quickly once it gets underway. At the AGIS survey, the FAA approved the survey control that we submitted, as well as their planned approach for the aerial photography that they needed to do. And so Foth, who's our sub-consultant and the real experts on this type of surveying, is underway, and they anticipate that they'd be able to submit sometime in November to the FAA for their review and approval. If the FAA has no issues with what was submitted, we could conceivably get approval of the AGIS survey in November.
Nothing penetrates that 20-to-1 slope, and we might get our night restriction lifted from our new approach.
Right.
Yeah. And our existing approach.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that, but you never know. Anyway, the only other thing that's come up is that we have a new program manager with the FAA. For years, we've worked with Abel Tapia. And he's turned over the reins of the Carson City Airport to Phil Logan. And Phil, I don't know him really well, but he used to work at the Reno Tahoe Airport, so I'm somewhat familiar with him. Plus, he sits next to Abel, so if I ever need any help, I can have him just lean over and ask Abel to get on the phone. So, any questions?
Well, I made one mistake already, and it has to do with the engineering item. I'm sorry, Carl. We do have a special meeting scheduled for Monday, October 22nd, 12 noon at the terminal. So, just make sure everybody knows that. So, that meeting is still on, and I think your handout, Jim, where is it? Yeah. On the slurry seal and striping parking lot, we'll be discussing that on Monday.
That's correct, okay. Yeah. There's nothing to all talk right about tonight.
Okay, thank you. Airport manager's report.
As we talked about before, tomorrow's special meeting is postponed until Monday because you didn't get the word. And the paperwork you have is for your review for the cost of striping and crack sealing the pavement, the parking lot. Okay, good news about the terminal area forecast. It should be in place and being broadcast on January 3rd. And if you're wondering the significance of that date, that's also my birthday. So let's hope for a really happy birthday on that.
We'll get you a cake.
Everything's gone through all the hoops. Everything's been approved. It's sitting on somebody's desk in Washington, D.C., waiting for the final go-ahead. But right now they're online to start broadcasting on January 3rd. In the paperwork I've given you, we have the proposal for our runway 27 GPS approach. It is a numbered approach, which means it's basically considered a straight in or modified straight in approach. The approach right now is a day only approach, and the high minimums. The minimums may not change because of terrain, but the AEGIS survey, once it is completed and submitted to the FAA, hopefully this will change that to a day and night use. I talked to Mike Daly at the FAA Flight Procedures Office, and once we get this approach published, then we can go and submit a request for waiver for Category C, possibly C and D approaches. And we're hopeful that we can at least get C. We're not sure about the Category D approaches. But it looks good for March for this to be published, and hopefully not soon after that we'll have a full-blown approach with CAT-C, possibly CAT-D minimums, once everything has been approved, if we can get it approved. The AEGIS survey is going to be a big help with that, so it looks like we're online for sometime in mid-March.
Well, that D, you know, would be really important because, like the aircraft, you know, that you and I flew, Tim, is all Category D for circling. And so if you come in on the RNAV GPS 27 and the winds are favoring runway 9, you got a circling approach. And so if we can get Category D minima, that would be just beyond our wildest dreams. Category C, we are really hoping to get a waiver that would allow Category C minima for this approach. So just keep our fingers crossed, and once we get the AEGIS survey complete and once we get the approach approved, you know, then as Tim said, we can request the waiver. Does, for members of the board, any questions about this approach? It is a prototype. In the profile view, I don't know if that arrow should be going to the left. I mean, if it's directional, it would be. But
that's, I think that just indicates climbing.
Well, it just indicates a climb.
Maybe. I don't know.
One thing about this approach that
could be. Yeah.
That and I just had it in my mind, but I was going
right
to say, this is a WAS approach. So it can go, it is a WAS approach. We'll probably have LNAV minimums, which we do, but basically they are designing it as a WAS approach.
You cannot fly the localizer performance minima without a certified WAS receiver.
That's correct.
But, so that does buy you, what, 300 feet? Yeah, 300 feet. There's just no way that we can get LPV minima here, because of the turning criteria and the missed approach segment just does not support that because of the mountains to the west.
But, that's correct.
But I didn't expect the LP minima, but that's great.
One quick update on our pattern altitude increased to 1,000 feet. It's still in the hands of the ADO San Francisco. I don't know who is doing the airspace study. We have no airspace issues. However, they're still jumping through hoops or sitting on someone's desk. Once that's complete, it'll go to the people who publish the AFDs, and then we'll have an official 1,000-foot AGL pattern altitude. I did have it published on the everything's been approved. It's sitting on somebody's desk in Washington, D.C., waiting for the final go-ahead. But right now they're online to start broadcasting on January 3rd. In the paperwork I've given you, we have the proposal for our runway 27 GPS approach. It is a numbered approach, which means it's basically considered a straight in or modified straight in approach. The approach right now is a day only approach, and the high minimums, the minimums may not change because of terrain, but the AEGIS survey, once it is completed and submitted to the FAA, hopefully this will change that to a day and night use. I talked to Mike Daly at the FAA Flight Procedures Office, and once we get this approach published, then we can go and submit a request for waiver for Category C, possibly C and D approaches. And we're hopeful that we can at least get C. We're not sure about the Category D approaches. But it looks good for March for this to be published, and hopefully not soon after that we'll have a full-blown approach with CAT-C, possibly CAT-D minimums, once everything has been approved, if we can get it approved. The AEGIS survey is going to be a big help with that, so it looks like we're online for sometime in mid-March.
Well, that D, you know, would be really important because, like the aircraft, you know, that you and I flew, Tim, is all Category D for circling. And so if you come in on the RNAV GPS 27 and the winds are favoring runway 9, you got a circling approach. And so if we can get Category D minima, that would be just beyond our wildest dreams. Category C, we are really hoping to get a waiver that would allow Category C minima for this approach. So just keep our fingers crossed, and once we get the AEGIS survey complete and once we get the approach approved, you know, then as Tim said, we can request the waiver. Does, for members of the board, any questions about this approach? It is a prototype. In the profile view, I don't know if that arrow should be going to the left. I mean, if it's directional, it would be. But
that's, I think that just indicates climbing.
Well, yeah, it just indicates a climb.
Maybe. I don't know.
One thing about this approach that could be. That and I just had it in my mind that I was going to say. This is a WAS approach, so it can go. It is a WAS approach. We'll probably have LNAV minimums, which we do, but basically they are designing it as a WAS approach.
You cannot fly the localizer performance minima without a certified WAS receiver.
That's correct.
But, so that does buy you, what, 300 feet? Yeah, 300 feet. There's just no way that we can get LPV minima here because of the turning criteria and the missed approach segment just does not support that because of the mountains to the west.
But, that's correct.
But I didn't expect the LP minima, but that's great.
One quick update on our pattern altitude increased to 1,000 feet. It's still in the hands of the ADO San Francisco. I don't know who is doing the airspace study. We have no airspace issues. However, they're still jumping through hoops or sitting on someone's desk. Once that's complete, it'll go to the people who publish the AFDs, and then we'll have an official 1,000-foot AGL pattern altitude. I did have it published on the remarks section of the AWOS, but we've had to add other things and it slipped my mind to put it back in, but I will be putting that back in tomorrow morning. And so hopefully we'll have that done by the end of the year. Everything else has been done. I want to give an update on what we talked about last month, the e-invoicing system. The government entity who came up with this, which replaces the ECHO system, have not finalized their criteria. They've modified it a few times. Nancy Paulson and I are still waiting patiently for training. And until we get the training, until everything's been certified, we are still unable to make drawdowns for any FAA reimbursable expenses. So we're just in a holding pattern.
But this is their problem, not ours, right? I mean,
it's our problem when we can't get the money.
It's our problem that we can't get the money, but there's nothing else, there's nothing for us to do.
There's nothing we can do until they get their stuff together.
There's got to be. I mean, I can't believe that all of the airports in the United States are not collecting funds. There's got to be a way that airports are doing it. I mean, we're now over a month, it sounds like, since we've been able to file a claim. Yeah. There's got to be a workaround.
All airports who had existing grants under the ECHO system are still able to draw those funds down. But if they received a grant that is under the new eDelphi system, which is e-invoicing, then they're stuck too. And there's a lot of airports out there. And it's not just airports, it's any other entity receiving certain government grants that go under the eDelphi system. And everybody's waiting.
If I could comment on that, the FAA is converting almost everything to electronics. I don't know how many of the pilots have had to go through the medical deal, but I just had to go through it. And now you have to fill out that form electronically. And when it comes back to the doctor, it may or may not be what you put down. And even though my hair is gray, the Department of Motor Vehicles still says it's brown. The FAA decided that they changed my hair color to blonde. So I asked my FAA physician about that. How do I fix that? And her comment was, get a bottle of hair dye. She said, don't even think about it. She said it's seriously problematic right now. So FAA is having this problem all over the place with the electronic conversions.
Yeah, I just did my physical last week, and my hair's still brown. Thank you very much. okay, just a quick update on Cinderlight. I don't have my numbers in front of me because I lost my briefing sheet, but we have received another $12,166 check for September, and we now have a total in our maintenance account of $42,250.72 as of this month. So they are moving rock, and the east side of the airport is really starting to take shape and looking very good. So we really appreciate the work that Cinderlight has done, and some of it's above and beyond the agreement. So we do appreciate that. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Tim. Legal counsel's report.
I have nothing new.
Thank you. Treasurer's report.
Well, I have received several emails from our former secretary treasurer that I am going to spend lengthy hours reviewing. We're going to start to get caught up and continue to make the transition. But until then, I will report that the checking account currently as of today has $9,342.16. The building and maintenance, as Tim just reported, is $42,250.72, and the money market is $399,360.14.
Thank you. Anything further? No? Good. Report from authority members.
I have none. I got one thing.
Chief Salo.
Yeah, just kind of an update. I received an email today.
They're preparing to move the airplanes from the airport to Mills Park. The Battleborn Day
remarks section of the AWOS, but we've had that other things and slipped my mind to put it back in, but I will be putting that back in tomorrow morning. And so hopefully we'll have that done by the end of the year. Everything else has been done. I want to give an update on what we talked about last month, the e-invoicing system. The government entity who came up with this, which replaces the ECHO system, have not finalized their criteria. They've modified it a few times. Nancy Paulson and I are still waiting patiently for training. And until we get the training, until everything's been certified, we are still unable to make drawdowns for any FAA reimbursable expenses. So we're just in a holding pattern.
But this is their problem, not ours, right? I mean,
it's our problem when we can't get the money.
It's our problem that we can't get the money, but there's nothing else. There's nothing for us to do.
There's nothing we can do until they get their stuff together.
There's got to be. I mean, I can't believe that all of the airports in the United States are not collecting funds. There's got to be a way that airports are doing it. I mean, we're now over a month, it sounds like, since we've been able to file a claim. Yeah. There's got to be a workaround.
All airports who had existing grants under the ECHO system are still able to draw those funds down. But if they received a grant that is under the new eDelphi system, which is e-invoicing, then they're stuck too. And there's a lot of airports out there. And it's not just airports. It's any other entity receiving certain government grants that go under the eDelphi system. And everybody's waiting.
If I could comment on that, the FAA is converting almost everything to electronics. I don't know how many of the pilots have had to go through the medical deal, but I just had to go through it. And now you have to fill out that form electronically. And when it comes back to the doctor, it may or may not be what you put down. And even though my hair is gray, the Department of Motor Vehicles still says it's brown. The FAA decided that they changed my hair color to blonde. So I asked my FAA physician about that. How do I fix that? And her comment was, get a bottle of hair dye. She said, don't even think about it. She said, it's seriously problematic right now. So FAA is having this problem all over the place with the electronic conversions.
Yeah, I just did my physical last week, and my hair's still brown. Thank you very much. Okay, just a quick update on Cinderlite. I don't have my numbers in front of me because I lost my briefing sheet, but we have received another $12,166 check for September, and we now have a total in our maintenance account of $42,250.72 as of this month. So they are moving rock, and the east side of the airport is really starting to take shape and looking very good. So we really appreciate the work that Cinderlite has done, and some of it's above and beyond the agreement. So we do appreciate that. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Tim. Legal counsel's report.
I have nothing new.
Thank you. Treasurer's report.
Well, I have received several emails from our former secretary treasurer that I'm going to spend lengthy hours reviewing. We're going to start to get caught up and continue to make the transition. But until then, I will report that the checking account currently as of today has $9,342.16. The building and maintenance, as Tim just reported, is $42,250.72, and the money market is $399,360.14.
Thank you. Anything further? No? Good. Report from authority members.
I have none. I got one thing.
Chief Salo.
Yeah, just kind of an update. I received an email today.
They're preparing to move the airplanes from the airport to Mills Park. The Battleborne Days Committee that's doing this. We're having a meeting tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, with NDOT to go over the movement of these airplanes. Scheduled to be Wednesday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they've got 3 hours to move from the airport. I believe they're going to go Technology Way to Arrowhead to 50, and then take 50 all the way into Mills Park. They'll be there until the following Monday, when 3 o'clock Monday morning, they'll return by the same route. NDOT's a little bit concerned, mainly because of the width of the air, the largest plane being the Mitchell. And I'm kind of concerned about it, too, because it'll take up two travel lanes, a turn lane, and it'll also encroach on the oncoming lane. So it's should be interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to it just to watch them move it. But I've invited Tim to be there at the meeting tomorrow, since the movement of the planes off the airport will cause damage to the airport. The committee's already said that they've made arrangements to take care of that. But I just would like the manager to be there for the meeting and to watch the movement off the airport. That's all I have.
One update to that. We do have the insurance. We do have the agreement to holding the airport harmless. Cinderlite did come in a couple of days ago and did fill in the ditch and packed it down. And so the next step for the Battleborne Days folks is to take down the fence. They're studying how not to take down too much and try to put it do it in such a way that it's easily erected again. So hopefully that'll take place right after the Battleborne Days. The ditch will be, Cinderlite will come in and remove that dirt and put it back the way it was. So everything looks like it's on for that.
Okay. Anything else? Reports from authority members? If none, is there any further public comment? Seeing none, agenda items for the next regular meeting. Tim, let's, you know, carry forward again. Item number two. Okay, item number two, we'll carry that forward. Anybody else have anything for the next meeting to agendize? If not, we're up to action on adjournment and would stand in need of a motion.
I move for adjournment.
Motion on the table. Second?
Second.
Made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.